Good morning and welcome, fellow redeemed, on this beautiful winter Minnesota morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts upon your holy word this morning be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, growing up, what was discussed at the kitchen table? I'm guessing it's the usual everywhere, right? You probably started out those discussions with what happened at work and what happened at school. And after all that exciting chatter, maybe you moved on to something like the weather or maybe an upcoming event that was going to happen at work or school. Or if you lived in my house, tasks that needed to be done when your parents were gone and that you should do as the oldest child. Or countless other things, maybe some family news about far-off relatives or that, or something of greater importance, or maybe something of lesser importance. As you are enjoying Juan's fine cooking over in the dining center these days at those tables, what are the discussions about? What are you talking about with your friends, or, because we're Bethany, your family that's sitting there eating with you? I'm going to guess it's pretty much the same stuff, isn't it? Again, it's going to be discussions. It's going to be topics that have greater importance and some of them that have lesser importance. What do you think those discussions would have been like growing up or what they would be like right now? If you had sure knowledge that your time on earth was coming to an end, if you know that you are going to die much sooner than later. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at the fourth verse. Moses writes, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Really, Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell to the children of Israel. He knew that he was not going to get to live in the promised land because he had disobeyed God's command. God had told him his earthly life was now coming to an end. And so as you read through the book of Deuteronomy, you notice very quickly that every time Moses addresses the Israelites, especially in the text here before us, he's always trying to refocus them on what is most important, the one true God, and how they can do and what they can do in their life to always make sure that that is top priority and focus. And so he says here, hey, listen up. Worship the one true God and him only with all your heart, soul, and strength. And he is our God. Why? Because remember, he's the one that delivered us from the slavery we were in Egypt. And he is the one who's been guiding us and protecting us on this journey and in this wilderness. And you can be sure he will make sure his children cross over into his promised land. And so out of thanks and adoration, and out of excitement for what he's done, make sure you tell the next generation. And don't just do it once or twice a year, or maybe for an hour each week, but all the time. Do it as you sit around your house, or when you're walking together somewhere, or when you are getting ready for bed at night. Make sure and remember, burn this into your brain, is what he's saying. And then also, you know what, to help you do that, maybe put up something, some reminder in the places that you spend your time to always remember everything he's done and all the blessings he's given us. Now, before I proceed any further this morning, I do not want to be misunderstood. There is absolutely nothing wrong with sitting around a table and talking about work or school or about the weather, or about the concert you're going to go to, or some sporting event you're looking forward to, or the exciting book that you just read. But in light of these words, I want us to this morning just take a few moments, and I want you and me to think about the amount of time that you and I spend with God in his word and talking about him with others. Moses told Israel, he's telling you and me today, to make spending time with God and his word and in his sacrament a priority. Moses is telling you and me that discussing our Lord and his word and all he has done and all he continues to do for us is to be the priority of your life and mine. And what's our reaction? We try to limit our time usually with God to 1 or 2 hours a week. And in case you haven't done the math, 2 hours a week, 5 chapels a week plus 1 hour on Sunday. We have Bibles that sit on bookshelves and on our desk, usually collecting dust. Or we like to go around and we like to gripe and complain. We have no time to read God's word. We would if we had more time, even though most of us, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, carry around these things that we could have a Bible app on. We eagerly memorize useless facts and statistics about other interests. I know I'm guilty of that. And yet I'm pretty sure none of us are overly excited to learn a new Bible passage each week because, you know what, we graduated from confirmation class. How quickly do you and I like to run out and buy that new poster or painting or bobblehead or action figure so that we can display it up in our home or, in the dean of students' case, in his office? And yet, let's be honest, when's the last time you and I spent hours in line on a Black Friday waiting to get some picture or cross that we can hang in our home or at work as that reminder of everything that God continues to do for you and me after everything he's already done for us on the cross? Now, again, I am not saying that any of the discussions you're having or any of the things that the Lord has blessed you with are bad or wrong in and of themselves. I'm simply asking myself this morning, and then I'm also going to ask you this morning to think about this in context and in light of what we're told here in these words. I'm asking us, are we doing what Moses and the Lord through Moses is directing us to do here today? Most often not. Why is that the case? I'm going to argue it's because we do not have the same grasp of reality that Moses had as he stood before the Israelites here. Again, Moses knew, he was told directly by God, he was going to die soon. We don't think that way, do we? We don't want to think that way, especially as Americans, right? We don't want to think that way. That's not part of our culture to think about death. And yet it is reality, isn't it? Unless Jesus comes back first, folks, each one of us here is going to die. The wages of sin is death, Paul says. Some of us will die in our sleep. Some of us will die in old age. Unfortunately, some of us will die unexpectedly or what we like to term as too young. But the reality is we're no different, in no different situation than we find Moses. The Lord is going to call us sooner than later. And so, if we were sure that we were going to be called into eternity soon, what would that mean for the way we share our faith in our life, we talk about our God in our life, the conversations that we have on a regular basis? I would guess that if we knew we had a very limited time left here on earth, it would definitely influence what we talk about in our conversations and how we share our faith in the love of God with other people. Before he died, Moses prophesied, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren." Thankfully, the Lord did do that, because that prophet, like Moses and yet so much greater, was and is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we have been reminded again through Moses today, as we have been reminded this entire week as we look at the childhood of Jesus, we needed Jesus desperately because we don't follow Moses' words. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. We needed the one greater than Moses to take on our flesh and to be born of Mary so that he could rescue you and me from the slavery of sin that we were born into, actually that we already entered into when we were conceived by our parents. We needed the one greater than Moses to come and to rescue us from the sin and the death and the hell that we earned because we don't love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. But see, Jesus did, as we heard this week, in his perfect life, right? Already at age 12, in the temple, doing his father's work in business, always obeying mom and dad in perfect humility and perfect obedience. We needed the prophet greater than Moses to come and to protect us on this journey, in this life, and in the wilderness that we find ourselves in right now. And so Jesus, out of love, came into this world and was willing to shed his blood on the cross so that he could destroy that serpent of this wilderness, Satan. And then he continues on. He continues to be with us in this journey, on and in this wilderness, as he gives us the anti-venom of his blood time and time again through his life and death that he offers you and me in his word and in his blessed sacrament. We needed that prophet greater than Moses to come, because if it was left up to you and to me, when we die, we would end up anywhere but in the promised land of heaven. And so Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to create faith in the Christian through water and the word when we are just moments, hours, minutes, days old. He sends you and me the Holy Spirit in the scriptures and in the Lord's Supper so that our faith remains strong, so that when that satanic serpent shows up with whatever temptation it may be, to ignore the commands of Moses here, to dishonor mom and dad and others in authority, through the Holy Spirit, you and I have the strength and the ability to squash him. We needed the one greater than Moses to come and to send the Holy Spirit so our faith is strong and focused always on him, so that when we do die, we will cross the Jordan and we will enter into the gates of Jerusalem the Golden, where a mansion awaits each and every Christian. These books and concerts can be exciting to talk about with friends and family. No question about it. It's fun to recap the big game or throw out stats with the buddies. I do it all the time. It is good, believe it or not, it is good to discuss work and school with those most important people in our life. But fellow redeemed, how much lesser are those things than what you and I have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his life and death that he gives us by faith? May the Holy Spirit put those words, may he keep those words in your heart and mind so that we share them with others. We pass them on to future generations. And may he help those scriptures then be burned into our brains so that you and I have them there, meeting the Lord regularly in his word and in worship. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, mark, read, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life in Jerusalem the Golden with milk and honey blessed. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, both now and forever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.